AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt, Brett here. Stein joining us a little bit later on. We'll have to just a few things to get to him with him in a little bit. I had some codeine last night.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, prescription strength.
This was my morning.
Wow.
Knocked that, it right out, huh?
It was. I mean, you think NyQuil takes care of you? It's like, but you know, as I finish up that little, you know, 5 milliliter cup, boy, I'm getting sleepy. And that's the end of that. The thing which is so weird, I'm not joking about this. I was in bed asleep thinking I was awake for an hour, and then I realized I was asleep. I'm not joking. That was like the weirdest damn thing in the
what?
What? Oh, that's right. I'm sleeping. You know, it was weird.
Better not have taken any of that before the show.
Uh-oh. Well, then.
I thought I was live. I was sleeping.
No, I don't need to. I'm still kind of a little bit foggy.
Oh, I imagine
from the dosage I took last night. And I got to go over to the Walker tomorrow for their, they got a special media preview for this upcoming event. I'll be going through, that's where I want to be, you know, really cruising on codeine through the Walker Art Museum.
Whoa, that painting's trying to eat me.
Today, I went down. First of all, I want to say all my best to anyone who's by a river or creek. I went down to the Minnesota Zoo, so that meant I went down Cedar. I don't think I've ever seen the Minnesota River that high. Have you seen how high the river is?
Not the Minnesota River in that area.
You know how that road that comes down from the power plant there? And they got the bike trail?
Black Dog Road or something.
That's all underwater. Yeah. It's all underwater.
Really? That's
all,
under?
Everything. Mm-hmm. It's not even close. I'm wondering if that pedestrian, I think, bike bridge is going to survive it. I mean, there's so much water coming through that area. It really is kind of scary how much water is coming down. So all my best to anyone out there as these floodwaters are moving through here. But today it's 70 degrees. My car said 70 degrees when I got into it to come on down here to the radio station. Just it's delightful. As a matter of fact, shorts and sandals are back. I'm back to my normal.
It is the season. All right.
It is, yes. Prepare yourself for some albino calves because they're there. I also did go down to the Minnesota Zoo. It's Zoo Babies Week. Have you ever been to the Minnesota Zoo at Zoo Babies Week?
I've read about it. Plenty of media coverage. I've wanted to see it, but never have.
Holy God. Yeah. You know, you guys are not exactly the least attended attraction in town. It was nuts. I got there at 10. They opened at 9. I got there at 10. I think I parked about 9 rows back. Here's the thing, which, okay. I know there's a lot of people that like to talk about parents with strollers and stuff. You go to a zoo, you're going to expect parents with strollers. And I have no problem, I really do not, with not only the single stroller, but the double wide or the triple wide stroller. Because it's not my job to be the parent there. You know, if that's what works for them, more power to them. I would advise not to try to go down a hallway where there's opposing traffic and there's not enough room for people to get by. But, I mean, if that's the stroller you need, fine.
You got 3 kids that are the same age. How else are you supposed to get them around?
And exactly. You know, yeah. You know, it's kind of, you know, those long ones. I've had the long ones. Those are tough sometimes. They don't work that well. But, you know, whatever. Fine. I don't – you're a parent. You know what you make your decisions. Here's my one problem. There was a time – if you've not been to the Minnesota Zoo, they got that Russian exhibit where you got the otters and the bear and the boars and the Amur leopards and stuff like that. There's a few points there where it gets pretty tight as far as the walking path goes. Here comes mom with a 3-wide stroller talking to mom with a 2-wide stroller walking side by side and not realizing you're going to have to kind of go single file here. And I ended up witnessing a log jam of, you know, that was like these ice jams out on the rivers. because they just for whatever reason they expected everyone else to move, and when one person didn't move, all of a sudden there was this massive, and the look on their face when they had to get single file, even with like a 3-wide stroller and a 2-wide stroller, was priceless. I mean, it's just like, how dare you inconvenience me? You have to be aware of your situation.
They didn't practice the zipper merge, huh?
They didn't practice anything outside of, you know, I want to go here. I will also say, too, it was interesting, and I don't know if this is a product of the fact that we're coming out of winter or if this is just the modern thing. The amount of kids that when the parent wanted to take them out of the stroller were protesting fiercely. Don't make me use my arms and legs. Put me back in my chariot. Don't do this to me. It's good to see animal babies are a popular thing. That is, I'm very impressed. You go down and see it. If you haven't seen it, there's not much cuter than a baby pig. Goats kind of freak me out.
A baby goat?
They're monsters. They because they get fed so much, they're constantly begging. Have you ever gone to a friend's house who has a dog that just basically constantly will put their head on the plate as you're trying to eat because they just don't
know?
Oh, well, now imagine it's 40 goats doing that. Because, I mean, you know, God forbid they walk past and I hold up something that looks like one of those nuggets of Purina, which they're trying to gobble down. And all of a sudden I got goats aplentiful. I'm just trying to look at the sheep and all of a sudden I got goats everywhere. Baby pigs, cool. Baby horses, adorable. Baby cows, delightful. Baby sheep, so cute. Goats. All right. We'll just leave it right there. We'll leave it right there. 952-946-6205. Speaking of popular things that you think me complaining about stuff at the zoo is bad, here you go. The number one story on the Star Tribune today. Apple Valley resident Diane Erickson blames the vexing the pop of pickleball paddles for driving her to seclusion inside her own home. Erickson, who lived 54 feet from the popular city pickleball court, says the sounds of the senior-friendly game, including players' chatter, cheers, and sometimes foul language, make her crazy. After 20 minutes, my nerves can't take it, said Erickson, who insulated the floor and ceiling of her TV room to drown out the din. I have to go in the house and isolate myself. It's just constant noise. Okay, first of all, this. Do they play? I mean, it looks like the picture they had with the story is an outdoor court. Do they clear the court for pickleball winter long? I can't believe that. Mm-hmm. Have you seen pickleball?
I have no idea what pickleball is. No.
Okay, it's okay. Imagine ping pong, only on a about a half size tennis court.
Hmm.
All right,
that's
pickleball.
What it is, yeah.
Yeah, basically, you got a wood paddle, a harder ball. And it's a shorter court. And it's pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
We used to play tennis, but apparently we had to go buy a whole bunch of new stuff just so we could play pickleball. And the tennis courts are still there. All right. Anyway, it's not like they're playing pickleball year-round. I mean, this woman's tolerance for pickleball sound doesn't sound like it's too high.
Are they, like, playing it right up against her house, using her house as the...
That would be hilarious. They're paddling the ball against her walls. I at that point, I'm with her. No, I'm with her. Insulating the walls.
How loud can these things be, though?
It's a wood paddle. Have you ever seen those wood paddles like that you have at the beach? With a heavy ball.
Hmm, okay.
With a harder ball. It doesn't have too much spring to it. It's a hard rubber ball.
So, okay, it's quite a bit louder than a ping pong table.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know, and you know, apparently someone's Forrest Gumping the pickleballs around like there's no tomorrow. The neighbors of the center of debate in Apple Valley over the pickleball court's future, they say the game is so noisy that the court should be closed at Hayes Park and built somewhere else. Despite, is this the epitome of white people problems, if there ever really was? I mean, seriously, your noise, you're violated by the noise quality of a pickleball court, which is a bunch of old white elderly people doing exercise. Wow.
Where was this again?
Apple Valley.
Not Edina. Okay.
You got lions in that. Well, they're tigers. It's not Edina. No, of course. They're insulated interior pickleball court.
Much more.
That's at the pavilion over there where there's a private membership to be part of that pickleball court over there. No, this is Apple Valley. I guess I got to do a yup. I don't know. So this is less serious Apple Valley. But seriously, if this is white, this is third, you know, first world white people problems, I don't know what it is. But apparently the city council will discuss sound abatement options Thursday, along with modified hours and whether to study possible relocation of the courts. The city has tried to address the concerns, says Barry Bernstein, Apple Valley's Parks and Recreation Director. This sounds like a Parks and Rec episode, for God's sakes. It conducted a sound study last summer, which concluded that the noise didn't exceed sound pollution levels set by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Oh, but don't be telling the residents around there that it doesn't. Bernstein contends that whether the noise is disruptive is a matter of opinion. What might be loud to you may not be loud to me, he said. Oh, yeah, that's the beginning of a good discussion with these neighbors. Even so, city officials are weighing a variety of different options to make peace. The city already set restrictions around afternoon and weekend play, requiring the use of a softer, i.e. quieter ball, and banned overhead lights that allow players to volley after dark. Are people setting up lights out there? Gosh, I mean, they're serious about their pickleball down in Apple Valley. Okay. Seriously. White people problems. This is going to be it. If you are so damn high strung that senior citizens going out and having fun playing, it's not like it's the Vegas Strip out there, okay? It's not New Orleans at Mardi Gras. You know, it's not your nightly Key West festivities. It's a bunch of seniors. Probably the most annoying thing is the smell of Bengay. I mean, seriously, and I will say this about the pickleball people: don't be swearing out in public. Okay, it's a game. I don't care how old you are, you know, get it under control. But seriously, this is your biggest problem. This is the fight of your generation in this day and age, with baby prisons, getting rid of healthcare, and all this stuff. You stopping the pickleball players in Apple Valley is your fight. Dear Lord.
People wonder why we don't run for local government or other people because, oh yeah, the city council meeting tonight, a pickleball noise restriction.
And you wonder why people who come to America sometimes just stop and stare at people. Yeah, this. What? You're doing what? This is your big problem? Wow. All right. Wow, I didn't realize it. Pickleball, huh? Ooh, scary. Seriously.
Agnes should clean up her language, though.
Yeah. Agnes and Dilbert. Come on, Dilbert. And Elwin. Elwin out there. He's cursing up a storm. 952-946-6205. Tell you what, take a break. Come on back. Some more serious, a little more serious topics when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
The U.S. has been fighting for 17 years in Afghanistan, 15 years in Iraq, and 4 years in Syria. And now the Trump administration is threatening war in Venezuela. As NATO will be starting its 2019 summit in Washington, a coalition of organizations will hold a mobilization to oppose NATO, war, and racism. American wars, with support from NATO allies, continue around the world. A new nuclear arms race is threatening, and U.S. military intervention is developing in Venezuela. Say no to NATO, U.S. wars, nuclear weapons, and racism with an anti-war protest on Saturday, March 30th at Lake Street and Minnehaha Avenue. Make your voice heard. Let's say no to wars, racism, and Islamophobia. Say no to the Muslim ban. And let's say yes to immigrants and funding for housing, education, and health care. Again, the anti-war protest is Saturday, March 30th at 1:30 at the corner of Lake Street and Minnehaha Avenue, initiated by the Minnesota Peace Action Coalition. Let's make our voices heard and stand up against war.
How dare you heathens think that us Dinofolk have a pickleball court outside? Of course, we've got the gold-plated pickleball court. It's delightful. We only allow certain parts of the city on in here on certain days because, let's face it, it's just so much fun. And whenever our pickleballs hit our paddles, it makes a money sound. So it's just delightful.
Not like your outdoor pickleballs. Oh, my God. Oh, what a travesty. What a travesty. Speaking of travesties, you know, last night, after I got done posting the show, someone pointed out that Betsy DeVos, you know, that Betsy DeVos, yeah, her, Secretary of Education, she has decided to cut. These are the cuts that these are tough cuts we have to make so we can fund more charter schools. $51 million for autism education, eliminating all funding for Special Olympics. $7.5 million for the Institute of the Blind, $5 million for books for the blind. That's right. That's what she's cutting. That is what she's cutting, which makes her a horrible human being. And she did this with a, it's hard, but this is what we got to do. Yesterday, I pointed out that I think that there's the thing I just don't understand about the modern Republican voter is not these zealots, these racist tinged in the full-fledged racists who inhabit that far right side of the party, which is really ugly and disgusting. It's the moderate Republicans I know are not this, that's not their dividing goal, but because they're so terrified of speaking out against the Republican Party that they just sit there and just go along with this stuff. Special Olympics. For God's sakes, I this morning I was once again disappointed when I went out there to try to find any Republican, any conservative condemning this, any Christian condemning taking money away from education for autism, taking money away from Special Olympics, taking money away from blind. Any Christian, this is basic stuff, people. Nope. And this is what I was talking about yesterday. You're cowards. You're all cowards. You are all cowards because you know this is wrong. You know this is bad. The reason why all these cuts are happening is because they're trying to drive as much money from the taxpayer base into the hands of private businesses. And through tax cuts or through scholarships to private schools or to big charter school companies. And the reality is this is a nightmare. This is an absolute nightmare. And yet, where is any conservative Christian to come on out? And I'm not asking for you to go out there and you know, slay your demons out on the rock. Anything. Couldn't you just come on out and say, you know what, I'm a big supporter of Trump. I like most of what he does, but I'm sorry. I completely and totally disagree with his defunding of the Special Olympics. I completely and totally disagree with that. 100% not on board. I'm very disappointed. I will let my representative know. Nothing. You guys are silent. You're quiet. You're doing nothing. This is what I was talking about yesterday. For God's sakes, people. Say something. Just say anything, for God's sakes. 952-946-6205. Spring Farm Sanctuary in Long Lake, Minnesota is a nonprofit farm animal sanctuary. It's a place where Pete, a heifered beef steer, was bottle fed as a calf. It's a place where he could expect to live out the rest of his life in his natural bovine life, no slaughterhouse included. But in mid-March, Pete slipped on a patch of ice and splayed on the ground. This was a concern for sanctuary director Robin Johnson. Pete's brother, Scruffy, died from a fall earlier in the year. So volunteers called the Lester Prairie Veterinary Clinic for their usual vet. But a return voicemail said that no one was coming to help Pete. "We don't not come out there for emergencies. You're just too far away," a Lester Prairie staffer said via a voicemail. This hadn't been a problem for Spring Farm's former vet. Lester Prairie is a modest 38-minute drive away, but the staff member explained that the vet no longer worked there. And there was another reason they wouldn't be coming. "We're also not really in agreement with the advertisements that are posted there at Spring Farms," the staffer said. "So we are not the vet there any longer. The advertisements are a series of posters displaying grim facts about big agriculture, like the fact that cows are separated from the calves on the day they're born. Part of Spring Farm's mission is to educate the public on the upsetting conditions some animals face within the industry." Apparently, Lester Prairie didn't like that so much. "I tried to reason with them," Johnson said. She explains that it was an emergency and that Pete was in a lot of pain. The response, she said, was that Lester Prairie only treats animals that feed people, and that she should try Buffalo Equine and Large Animal Clinic instead. Lester Prairie, once again, this is the Lester Prairie Veterinary Clinic, refused to comment on the City Pages story. Johnson called Buffalo Equine, but no one there was willing to come either. "If Pete wasn't being raised to be slaughtered, they weren't going to save his life," Johnson was told. Buffalo Equine didn't respond to interview requests. Under state law, veterinarians have the right to pick and choose their patients. What gets Johnson's goat is that, according to American Veterinary Medical Association's oath, vets have sworn to use their scientific knowledge and skills for the preservation and relief of animal suffering. She had a steer who was suffering, and two clinics had refused to help. Pete got lucky this time. The volunteers put down some sand and padding, and he regained his footing. He seems to be okay, but it could have just gone easily the other way. "What's the deal?" Johnson says. "She pays her bills on time. She takes good care of their animals. Why are her 21 animals such a threat to them? Whatever the reason, the refusal of help is definitely a threat to Spring Farms. If they can't get a vet to make emergency calls, they can't keep their operation running. They're already reluctantly looking to relocate the steers. It breaks my heart," Johnson says, "but it's legal, but it's not right." This is another example of how did we get to this point. Okay, if you get into certain career fields, you shouldn't be out there saying, "I don't care about your animals." And shame on the Lester Prairie Veterinary Center, Veterinary Clinic, and shame on the Buffalo Equine and Large Animal Clinic. Shame on both of you. You're only going to treat an animal and try to save an animal if that animal is destined to be slaughtered for food? Because that seems to me exactly that, is that you don't – you apparently do have the right in Minnesota to be a jackass and not take care of animals, but you shouldn't. If you want to become a vet, you should actually care for animals, not hope that certain animals suffer and die because the person that owns it, you disagree with their education philosophy. And what's the big threat anyway? I didn't even know about this place until you guys didn't want to go and give them service. Think about this for a second. Would we even know about this place if you guys would have come off your damn high horse and gone out there and given veterinary care to the cow? No. Because of your ignorant stance and your lack of any kind of professional and moral ethics, you guys basically have made this a bigger story. So for anyone out there that would be, as you listen to this and you're upset, once again, the two places that refused veterinary care for an injured cow were Lester Prairie Veterinary Clinic and the Buffalo Equine and Large Animal Clinic. Bon appetit. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When we do return, Stein, I'm going to guess we're going to talk about the Mueller report. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Art lovers, it's time to celebrate, learn about, and collect local art at the St. Paul Art Crawl, running April 26th to 28th. The Spring St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you will have the chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artists' studios, lofts, and galleries. Up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 34 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for your own. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community, too, with free transit passes. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at stpaulartcrawl.org. That's stpaulartcrawl.org.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. March is Auto Show Month at Rudy Luther. This means throughout the month, they'll have great auto show deals on all new Toyotas. My first Toyota love was the RAV4, and it's completely redesigned for 2019, and the new RAV4 Hybrid will be here soon. Remember, buy a new Toyota and get a $250 gift card, trade in a vehicle on a new Toyota, and get another $250 gift card. That means a total of $500 in savings. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley, and online at rudyluthertoyota.com.
The Electric Fetus wants your used music. The used music buying bonanza is going on now at the Electric Fetus. Sell your vinyl, CDs, and DVDs from now through April 7th and receive an extra 50% based on the quote if you choose store credit. That's 50% more to use on more music or gifts. So bring your LP, CDs, and DVDs to the Electric Fetus. They're located at 2000 4th Avenue South and open 9 to 9 weekdays, 9 to 8 on Saturdays, and 11 to 6 on Sundays. And please note the store is closed April 1st for inventory.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us this week for Minnesota Matters, a news, entertainment, and sports show covering everything that matters in the North Star State. Tune us in right here or at your convenience at minnesotanewsnetwork.com.
Listen to Minnesota Matters every weekend, Saturday mornings at 5:30 and Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950.
Don't fool yourself. Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is actually becoming one of the better venues for music in town. There's a lot of great artists they've got coming in. It's pretty much every night they've got an artist on the stage. A lot of these artists are coming through. It's the only place you're going to be able to catch them in town. Go to Crooner's webpage. We've got a link of it on the social media pages. Go to Crooner's webpage and find out their schedule, because there's a lot of great music out there. But Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club, that's the great part about them. Music, dinner, some dancing, old-style entertainment. Go on out there and enjoy it in a great modern setting. The food there is fantastic. Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club. It's the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week up on Highway 65, Moore Lake. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com, iowawatch.org is the public service show, and he's joining us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Flooding bad down there for you guys right now, or not yet?
Western Iowa, and obviously the Cedar River, which runs through the eastern third of the state, came out a little bit. But keep in mind, a decade ago, they had the record flooding, so that cleared out a lot of area. Not to be flip about it, but it does not adversely affect as much. That far western Iowa, that's devastating, and the Mississippi isn't going to crest for another month, and so they're battening down the hatches there.
But, I just saw the Minnesota River today. I've never seen the Minnesota River right before it hits the Mississippi. I've never seen it that high. It's going to come down pretty big, heading toward Dubuque, the Quad Cities, that way.
Yeah, they're talking about possible records, and again, it depends upon the snow melt, which now I think we're getting a bit past, but it's a matter of it's coming slower than it might have, which is a good thing. But I had a broadcasting colleague who winters in Florida and has some property up there, and he asked how bad was it, and I said, well, you're not going to have a crest for another month. Wow. And the phone fell silent, because again, if you just think about it, it's going to keep climbing, or at least being stable above flood stage for 30 more days. That's phenomenal.
I want to give you credit.
We don't have, by the way, it's a good thing we don't have climate change.
No, not at all. Not anyway. Yeah, exactly. I want to give you credit, because there's something that you said about 4 weeks ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, when we got to Roger Stone. Mm-hmm. And it was something that immediately, because once again, I want to make sure we understand what's happened. Barr has released his abridged version of what he says is in the Mueller report. That's what's happened.
Right.
A lot of Republicans have screamed, oh, it's exonerated him. We have no idea what it has done. I will take Barr at face value that the attorney general would not have said that Trump is not – there is not enough evidence to charge him criminally with a collusion charge. But as you said with Roger Stone, you said regardless of where – because you said that. You said – did collusion happen? Well, they sure do seem to think so with Roger Stone, because they're charging him. They indicted him on lying about talking to WikiLeaks and all these, and which got the Russian information. So there was some communication going on here. The decision that there wasn't enough evidence to charge Trump in a collusion case doesn't mean that there wasn't some level of collusion, which is once again something you pointed out 5 weeks ago.
I think at this point there are a couple of things to peel apart, and I appreciate you suggesting that maybe I guessed right on a few of these things. But you've got Rosenstein in there signing off on the letter with Barr, if not literally figuratively. That does lead me to suspect that the basic synopsis that Barr presented is accurate, as in they can't prove collusion.
They can't charge a criminal collusion.
Well, now there are two different lanes here, and my sense of it is that there's the collusion lane and the obstruction lane. The collusion lane turned out to be cleaner than the obstruction lane. Okay, and so again, until we see more, here's the other reason why.
Yeah.
Here's why I tend to go with the report that Barr has submitted as being substantially accurate, because Mueller has not said a word and no one on his team has said a word. This thing has been pretty tight on their end, with one exception. Do you remember James Comey had an op-ed in the New York Times that broke online Thursday night of last week and was in the paper on Friday, where it basically said, hey, you know, there just might not be any collusion indictments, and I don't really care if he did it now or not, et cetera, et cetera. My conspiracy theory is that Comey got the heads up that there would be no collusion that could be charged or proven, whatever, could not be traced, okay, directly to the president or his people. And so Comey got the heads up and kind of tamped down expectations, which then when you actually get whatever was released, whether it was the statements Friday and Saturday or the Barr memo on Sunday, then it puts more of a spotlight on the obstruction claim. Now, keep in mind, prosecutors, and that's what Mueller was doing, right? He's running a prosecutorial team. Let's investigate, and if we can, we prosecute. It is not their job to exonerate. It is their job to lay out information. And they just couldn't put together a collusion case. And, you know, well, Rod Stone is it's interesting to me, and I'm interested in what you think of the chronology of this. At some point, Mueller had to know they weren't going to be able to prove collusion. And so my sense is that that was before he raided Stone's house and brought him in on charges. That's fascinating to me, as is this tidbit. The grand jury is still meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Mueller's probe is done, but the grand jury is still meeting. That I find fascinating.
I will say this about Stone, is that I think that, once again, there's Stone was going to fall on as many spears as he needed to for Trump.
Sure.
And so I think that when eventually what happened is they funneled this down to Stone, and Stone basically, you know, that, and that's when they went after Stone. I think that there clearly is, you know, whether they're going to charge him on collusion or treason or something of that nature, I don't know. But they've got Stone at least for lying about his communications with various people. The problem that you have with what the Republicans are saying is twofold. Now, one, they are representing what Barr has said as a complete exoneration. No, what Barr basically said is that they couldn't charge him with criminal collusion. That as far as the Mueller probe was concerned, and whether or not Mueller followed all of his paths down that road, we can have that debate. I mean, he didn't actually interview Trump. He only took the written questions. And it does seem like he kind of finally got to a dead end with Roger Stone. But at the same time, I think that you have to look at that as part of the question of you know, that they could not make the link there. Very similar to when Comey came out and said, we can't charge Hillary Clinton with a crime here. Sure, I mean, it's you want me to throw her into jail for 50 years for jaywalking, but I'm not going to do that. I mean, that's kind of the impression I kind of get, is that there might be some smoke there, but there's clearly not enough fire for us to put charges out. The obstruction of justice is a different thing. I mean, once again, Trump admitted it to Lester Holt, for God's sakes. It's not exactly like it's a mystery if he did it. But Barr's purpose there seems to be to basically put out enough cover. He's not going to charge obstruction of justice. He's already written about that he won't do it. And on top of that, I think that, you know, he's basically allowing his words to be construed as a complete exoneration. And he never, to my knowledge, said he was completely exonerated. He just said that there was no criminal charge they could file against him on collusion. So he's not going to be charged with any crimes in that collusion side.
I look at it just a little differently. Just a little differently. I think the collusion case is less strong. Let me just make up words as I go along. I think it's less strong than you are asserting. I think that the collusion, and this is something you and I have talked about. In order, you can in your mind say, oh, these are shady, shady people, and they will do anything, whoever the they is, right? But can you make a connection? Well, here's what I find fascinating. They could not find enough to indict any U.S. citizen on collusion. That is really fascinating to me. I had suggested to you before that they couldn't make a connection to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I mean, that, you know, if you're running a skullduggery operation and you're doing it right, there's no trace back to the big guy. But here there's no indictment at all on the collusion. That to me is really striking. it is true that words like exoneration are being bandied about, but we have to remember that's not a word that is germane to this report in any way, other than the fact that Mueller said he could not exonerate the president on obstruction. Well, right, not his job. What I interpret all of this as, there's more on the obstruction side than the collusion side.
I would say that's exactly right.
And so if I'm a Republican, of course I'm going to say this was a collusion investigation. They found no collusion. Case closed. Move along. If I'm a Democrat, I'm going to say, what were they obstructing if they had nothing to hide? Now, maybe they didn't find it, whatever it is, on the collusion side. But look at all of these other people who have been involved in shady things. I mean, Manafort is a whole different, you know, slice of hell. Here you got Michael Flynn obstructing justice and committing perjury on something that wasn't illegal. So that's, you know, that's Rhodes Scholar material right there. I mean, it's, you know, not to, to draw direct comparisons, but Capone never served time for murder. It was tax evasion.
Exactly.
I mean, this is the kind of thing where collusion might not bring down a president, but obstruction might. But the question then is, I would think that both sides would say this is a pretty exhaustive investigation. And if this is the best we have by March, late March of 2019, is it worth it for the Democrats from a political standpoint to keep referencing collusion or obstruction, or is it best for them to pivot toward policy?
Here's
And defeating at the ballot box. Well, I just pulled that as a question.
Here's the thing: if this was a Democratic president, they'd already be out of office, and the Republicans would have already been in sync. They had half the Democrats on board with them, and he'd already be gone. And that's just a fact. When I look at the collusion thing, tell me what you think about this. Do you know that Russian company that was trying desperately to get out of the grand jury testimony?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so. If you want to do this right, WikiLeaks is in the middle. Roger Stone's on one side. That Russian company is on the other. Everything gets filtered through those two guys, right? Sure. But Roger Stone's not saying anything. The Russian company basically lost at the Supreme Court, but they've said that they're not going to obey they're not going to show up to testify. So basically, I think that's what happened there with the collusion, is that it came down to the points on either side of WikiLeaks. Mueller knows who the two people were involved, but none of them are talking. And so that's when you, as you talked about with the raid on Roger Stone afterwards, he said, fine, okay, I guess we're going to go after Roger Stone then on other things. I think that's what happened. Would you agree with that?
I think that's pretty close, sure. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Because again, some of these people, and is this unfair of me? Maybe it is. But, you know, the Paul Manaforts and Roger Stones of the world like to play big. Right. They want to be the big deal. They want to know people. They want to have the money and the power and the clothes and the whole bit. And they desperately want to attach themselves to someone like a president. And so they will do whatever to try to get into the good graces they think of the individual that they want to be attached with. Right. I mean, how many times has Roger Stone insisted in interviews, prior to his indictment, of course, that he be introduced as presidential advisor Roger Stone?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what he wants on his business card. Well, when you are willing to do anything to get to that point, then sometimes there's a comeuppance. And, you know, I have a hard time buying into the people who say this was a waste of time and money. It's not a waste of time and money. If, in fact, you believe that no Americans were involved directly in collusion with the Russians, well, hallelujah. Let's hope not, right? From that one standpoint. It's all this other shady stuff that so many of these people have been associated with, that it does then call into question. And maybe not with some voters, but because I think the people who voted for Trump in 2016 sort of knew what they were getting. I don't know that there were too many who were on the fence about him as an individual. Now, if there's an opponent in 2020 that they might look upon more favorably than they did Hillary Clinton, now you've got a possible flip. But if you say, you know, Donald Trump hangs around with some unsavory characters, well, that's not exactly a news alert, right? But I think to bring those people to check, it does lead us to look and say, you know, even if I like this guy, I don't like what he's doing over here. Is there enough critical mass to make enough people in the right states flip come 2020? Well, you know, you prosecute what you find, well, and that's what they did.
And here's the one thing. Going back to something you've said for years, when they came on out and they said there was nothing to this, and the obstruction of justice is up to the, you know, eye of the beholder, I don't think it's a problem. It says Barr. Then the question says, well, are you going to really support the report? At that point, the Republicans painted themselves into a corner. It's never the conspiracy; it's the cover up. And the report might say. Let's just even say it backs him up. If they don't release it, if it did say it backs up everything Barr says, I actually guarantee the report would already be released. But the fact that they are right now, there is no intent by Barr to release the full report to Congress, that he's going to do another summary, that the longer the report doesn't get released, that's, once again, it's not the conspiracy, it's the cover-up or the appearance of a cover-up. It would actually, if this Barr report is true, it would be actually of their intel for their own benefit to get that full report out there, because the longer they don't release it, the more people. It's like his tax returns. I mean, does anyone really think that Donald Trump's tax returns are honest? No, but you know, it's in that the longer it goes, the worse it gets. So I think that's the problem the Republicans have, is that now the clock is ticking on that report.
Well, and you're right. Now, here's the thing with the tax returns, and you've heard me say this. Tax returns are going to show you nothing. But when a guy says, I'm not going to show them, that brings up suspicion.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You're not going to find how he got his money by the tax return. But I also understand that by saying, I'm not going to show it to you, well, that suggests there's something to hide. Now, I'm going to make a statement that I truly believe I would make regardless of who the attorney general was or what political party appointed that attorney general. And the statement is this. It is one thing to say, I've gone through this report. My team's gone through this report. Rosenstein, who's been supervising, has gone through the report. Here's my four pages. It's one thing to do that. It is another to go through and ferret out what might be confidential material. I'm not talking executive privilege. Put that over here. I'm talking about things that might impede pending prosecutions, that might impede law enforcement investigations. There's some stuff in there that, I mean, you have to go through that with such a massively fine-tooth comb. Imagine if Barr releases the whole report, just opens the file cabinet, says, here you go. And it turns out that Manafort's conviction gets overturned because something was released. You don't want that to happen. So I'm willing to go along for some limited period of time on Barr saying, I got to comb through this. Here's where it would be hinky as far as I'm concerned. Hinky, of course, a technical legal term I learned in law school. Here's where it would be hinky is if the president invoked executive privilege on certain provisions. That's when I get much more suspicious about the whole thing. So I'm willing, again, as a lawyer who's done criminal law and worked with the attorney general's office as a special prosecutor, I get taking your time. But I also think you can't have forever. And when they start pulling in executive privilege, when did most Americans learn of a thing called executive privilege? It was Watergate. There's the optic you don't need if you're the Trump administration.
I'll tell you what, we're just going to stretch this out really quick and we'll get one last question in with you before we have to go to a break here. But sure. Trump has now decided to go after Obamacare and kill it completely with the ACA, to which you hear multiple Republicans screaming, no, what are you doing? Because this is an issue which really hurt the Republicans in 2018. They don't want to even bring it up again, but Trump is now on his own because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, this is just about erasing Obama's legacy.
Well, sure it is, but here's the big problem and why it's a political misstep. They've been working with Nancy Pelosi, the White House, on prescription drug cost reform. Grassley in the Senate has been doing it on the Finance Committee. They could come up with an agreement to help Americans on prescription drugs. That's a good thing. Everybody wins with that one. The problem when you are the president and you say we're going to get rid of Obamacare, you have to have an alternative. And that was the big thing that fell apart between 2016 and 2018. They had no alternative, and it was the gang that couldn't shoot straight when they did have the votes. And I see nothing that suggests they have figured out an alternative yet.
And the House is just going to repass the Affordable Care Act and throw it out the Senate.
It's fine to say we need to address health care. Here is what, going into 2020, we Republicans believe and we all sign on to, and if you give us back the House, and let us keep the Senate and the White House, we'll do it, but they don't have that.
Jeff Stein, once again, I'm going to have to end there. Jeff Stein, find his books at Common Good Books, totallyiowa.com, and I'll post the Iowa Politics Report a little bit later on. Jeff, thank you much. I'll talk to you later, my friend.
You're the best. Thanks.
Quick break. We'll wrap up the show. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Metz inviting you to listen to my radio show, The Wall of Power Radio Hour, every weekend on AM 950. We feature cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states. In 4.5 years, we have featured musicians, actors, politicians, homicide cops, record stores, Metz documentaries, Bob Dylan's first drummer, and more. Every weekend on AM 950, 6 p.m. on Saturday, 4 p.m. on Sunday.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. Let me tell you about the best parts of buying a vehicle with Rudy Luther. First, their staff is wonderful, friendly, and always ready to help. Another is the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores, as well as discounted car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
As a family-owned business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has been serving the Twin Cities since 1930. A new furnace or air conditioner from Standard Heating and Air can lower your monthly utility bills, administer more consistent temperatures, and even improve indoor air quality, making your home safer and healthier for the whole family. The average heating and cooling system lasts 15 to 20 years. So if yours is on its last legs, call Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
Hey, this is Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Join me and Desi Doyen weeknights on AM 950 at 7 p.m. for the Bradcast. 1 hour of interviews, analysis, news, and snark that you need but won't get from the corporate media. Join me for the Bradcast, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. No, I can believe that enough people fell on swords on the Trump side of WikiLeaks to basically prevent the criminal charges there. But we need to see the whole report, because I guarantee you, as the intelligence agency said, there's enough smoke there. There might not be fire, but there's a lot of smoke there. I think The Atlantic said it best, that there's a legitimate chance. I think what this report exposes is Trump did all this stuff for Russia just to get the Trump Tower Moscow. And so I thought that was an interesting point there. But obstruction of justice, I don't think you let this go, because they desperately want you to let it go, but I don't think you should let it go. So who wants to join me for play some pickleball in Apple Valley tonight? Woo! Go pickleball! Apple Valley pickleball. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya. Food.